It is time to go inside the ropes.
For a quick look at a number of hot topics in the world of golf this week, let's go inside the ropes.
It is the PGA National Resort and Spa Inside the Ropes segment. We do it each and every week, discussing a handful of hot topics in the world of golf, and it's brought to you by PGA National Resort and Spa. Topic number one, Patrick, silly season golf. Oh, I know this breaks your heart. I know this story is really shaking you up. The Skins Game, a Thanksgiving weekend tradition for nearly nearly 30 years. It began way back in 1983. It became the latest victim of golf's economic downturn. Organizers said it would be postponed this year with no guarantees of returning in 2010. IMG, which manages the Skins Game, has been negotiating a contract extension with the Korean-based LG Electronics Company. But LG decided at the last minute not to renew. A staple since 1983, the event recently has struggled to attract an all-star lineup, and the TV ratings recently have been sagging. Pat, Skins Game canceled for this year's Thanksgiving weekend. Your thoughts?
As you said, Russ, I'm crushed. You know what? When this started, like everything else, when something first starts, first of all, when I first heard about this in 1983, it's like, oh, the Skins Game. I thought they were talking about the Redskins. That's how, you know, because it's in the middle of football season. I'm like, what the? What are? I didn't even know what a skin was. But when it first started, I think it was Jack Lee Trevino, Arnold Palmer, and I think Tom Watson.
I think Gary Player. I might have been Gary Player.
But it was they were good. I mean, it was
huge
like the
names.
Top
yeah, exactly.
Names. You know, some of them were in the twilight of their career, but nonetheless, you know, it was the big names. So, and at the time, they were playing for a lot of money, and, you know, each putt was worth $50,000 or something like that. So there was a modicum of interest level on my part in the middle of football season to want to just see this. Russ, after the first year, that quickly faded. I was like, what? You know, and then when they got away from Jack and Arnie and those guys and just started bringing in anybody that would play in this, and Fred Couples ended up dominating this thing, like you said, became his own little annuity every year. It became ridiculous. It really wasn't a competition. It was strictly a money grab by these guys. Now, they did go to more of a charitable component with this thing as it went on, so at least that lessened that part of it. But at the same time, there's just no buzz. There was nothing exciting to watch with this. It was forced, like I said, forced banter, which I can't stand. It was these guys trying to pretend like they're friends with each other, where half of them hated each other because they're, you know, they're competitors. And most of the year, they're trying to beat the other guy. So there isn't really a lot of friendly, you know, friendliness between them in real life. So you could sense that it was forced. And it was made for TV. You know, they play nine holes. They did these where they were playing under the lights and all this other stuff at various points. So after like 1984, I've been wondering when this thing was going to get the nail in the coffin, and it's taken 30 years. So I got to give it credit for hanging around. But unlike a lot of stuff which I have nostalgia for, just by the mere fact that it's been around a long time, I have none for this. I'm glad it's gone. As I've said multiple times, they should end the PGA Tour at Labor Day, before football starts, throw in the President's Cup or Ryder Cup, you know, a few weeks after that. But after that, there should be no golf. There should be no golf, really, until March when we start the Florida Swing. But I'll grant you that you have to have something after the first of the year. But that's the way golf should go. And any of this kind of junk should be done. So I am happy it's gone.
Ouch. No love. No
new love at all.
No love for the Skins Game from Pat Rooney Jr. Well, I would just say, when, you know, 5 or 6 years ago when Tiger quit playing in it, and the reason given was it's only $1 million purse. The Skins Game, only $1 million purse. When you got four golfers playing for $1 million, there's a mathematical likelihood that you're going to earn about $250,000. What's wrong with earning $250,000 for 2 days' work? So when you heard players saying it wasn't enough money, and that's the type of stakes we're talking about, you knew this was in trouble. And for me, when the Skins Game jumped the shark for me, and it was way after you, because you started giving up on it in the mid-80s, and you know me, I love silly season golf. I love this kind of stuff, so I'm a bigger fan of it than you are. But This is when the Skins game jumped the shark. The year after Stephen Ames won the Players' Championship, that got him into the Skins game. And then IMG must have been cringing when he kept winning it year after year to get him in the Skins game the following year. You know where they were hoping, oh, please just not win a skin and be done with you. We'll be done with you. But no, Stephen Ames got the invite, and he made the most of it. Give him credit. He kept winning year after year for like three straight years, and that killed it for me because Stephen Ames has absolutely zero personality, and at least when it's Freddie Couples, even though he was winning hundreds of thousands of dollars year after year, he's fun to watch. He's got a lot of personality. He's got a gorgeous golf swing. So for me, when Stephen Ames became the perennial Skins game winner the last three or four years, that's when, for me, it jumped the shark.
And I'm not going to go on it, but it just never, it was strictly about the money. And you need golf, like every sporting event, to be about the competition. When it's just strictly about the money, I don't have an interest in watching a guy make a putt for $100,000. That doesn't do anything for me. There's no excitement there for me. So, like you said, jumped the shark for me a long time ago. All right, Russ, number two going to you. Let's talk a little bit about the quote-unquote fan connection, the key to the LPGA and its future success. The sagging economy and its role in the shrinking LPGA tour schedule prompted a mandatory meeting of players and officials this past week, Russ. The summit was the second the tour has held. The first in 2002 in Arizona addressed the 5 points of celebrity, and this time focused on how the players can expand the game's fan base by not only playing great golf, but by engaging themselves in the community as well. The meeting was part business and part pep rally, Christy Kerr said, and the players were encouraged to utilize social networking avenues like Facebook and Twitter to stay engaged with their fans and the sponsors whose dollars make the hefty purses at tournaments possible. The tour has seen its schedule shrink by 5 events this year because of sponsor withdrawals, and a 6th also remains questionable. The tour signed a contract with the Golf Channel to have the tour events televised next season, but while the contract should ease complaints that women's golf was hard to find on TV, the details for whether the game will be shown live are still being worked out. My question to you, Russ, where does the LPGA Tour go from here?
Well, my first recommendation to Carolyn Bivens and the LPGA Tour is stop killing your product with your crappy placement. When you're talking about sales, Pat, you know, a big part of sales is product placement. That's why we see companies pay millions of dollars to, you know, Pepsi pays millions of dollars to have a movie, you know, have the characters in the movie only drink Pepsi. So in the movie, you see product placement. You see, you know, Brad Pitt sipping from a Pepsi can. And product placement is a big thing. Well, the LPGA Tour gets a big fat F when we grade them for product placement. You wouldn't have to worry about over-engaging your fans and sponsors if you would just schedule correctly. And we're not talking about rocket science. It's just common sense. Let me give you an idea for the LPGA Tour schedule so far this year. And by the way, there's an LPGA event going on this weekend. Oh, we didn't really cover it because it's getting zero buzz. The Michelob Ultra opened this weekend in Williamsburg, Virginia. But this is the LPGA Tour. They began the second weekend of February in Hawaii with the SBS Open at Turtle Bay. They then took 2 weeks off. When they reemerged 2 weeks later, they were in Thailand. Then the next week, they're in Singapore. Then they took 2 weeks off, and they're in Mexico. They were in Mexico for the MasterCard Classic. Then the very next week, they finally make it to the mainland, and we're talking the final weekend of March, March 26th through the 29th. The 5th event of their tour season finally made it to the contiguous 48 states in Phoenix, Arizona, for the LPGA International presented by Mirasol Winery. Then the week after that, their first major of the year. Not a lot of buzz leading up to that first major when you've been in Hawaii, Thailand, Singapore, and Mexico for your first 5 weeks. So the Kraft Nabisco Championship at Rancho Moraz, California, didn't get a lot of buzz leading up. Next week after that, back to Mexico for the Corona Championship. That, by the way, was last week. You might have missed it. And then this week, the Michelob Ultra Open at Kings Mill in Williamsburg, Virginia. By the way, it's not getting a lot of coverage either. All 3 rounds of the event this weekend on ESPN2.
The deuce.
Which really does not, it doesn't give you a lot of exposure. Carolyn Bivens, stop killing your product. Put your tournaments in where they're going to be consumed the most. That is the United States of America. To me, if they would just schedule correctly and stop, You know, just common sense. It's not rocket science. They wouldn't have to have 100 LPGA Tour players convening in some kind of summit this week to brainstorm. Well, what's going wrong? Why aren't we getting more eyes on our product? Well, duh. You're putting your product in Singapore and freaking Thailand and 2 weeks in Mexico, first 6 weeks of the year.
Well said, Russ. I agree with everything you've said there. Here's what I would do, real quick, exactly. Condense the schedule. Do not be playing against the men for their majors or the fifth or sixth majors. Try to stay away from that. But if you have to go against them, end your events on Saturday. There's nothing wrong with that. Have your finishes be on Saturday. Most of the LPGA events are 3 days anyway. Go Thursday, Friday, and end it on Saturday. That'll give you at least the spotlight for Saturday as opposed to going against everything else that's going on Sunday, especially the men. This is the reason why there's no interest, at least in my part, and I'm a sports aficionado, in tennis. Tennis is all over the place, Russ. There doesn't seem to be a season with it. It's all over the world. But at the very least with tennis, you've got their four majors, and you sort of know where they are with the Australian, French, Wimbledon, and U.S. Open. You sort of at least can get some buzz around that. What's happening with the women's, the LPGA, is that they're even, in my opinion, losing their majors because, like you said, there's really no lead up to the first one. They're all over the world, and then all of a sudden they're playing that first major, and then they leave again. They're back gone for 2 weeks or whatever it is. Listen, I understand the Mexican connection with Ochoa and all the sponsorship stuff that they're getting from Korea and Thailand because a lot of the players are Korean now and whatever, but it doesn't matter. U.S. is the capital of the world, whether people like it or not. That's where the TV is. That's where you're going to get the most, like you're saying, buzz for this product. Come up with a schedule. Condensed is fine. I'm all for getting rid of five or six events. They just lost the Corning Classic, which have been around for 30 years.
A mainstay.
So figure out those types of events that you really want to be able to keep. To keep some of that tradition that this tour seems to be just kicking out the door. Try to condense the schedule. Stay away from the men as much as you can in their big tournaments and your tournaments on Saturday. Get just try to come up with some kind of a geographical schedule that flows like the men try to do with California, Florida, and then gradually moving up north. Do something similar. Get on good golf courses that people can play. And would get excited about seeing women play in courses that they played that are good courses. There's a ton of them out there. Traditional golf courses, all the other stuff, and go from there. Play up Michelle Wee and Natalie Galbis and Brittany Lincecome and
Morgan Pressel.
Some of the stars that they've got there, and go from there. But you're right, Russ. This disjointed, all over the world stuff. They're going to go the way of tennis, and people just aren't going to care anymore.
Yeah, Natalie Gulbis, to get exposure, she's got to go on The Price is Right and do the little putting game with Drew Carey and The Apprentice as well. And Natalie Gulbis, she needs to, she needs to up her Q rating, so she's going different avenues because she realizes she's not going to get it on the LPGA Tour. I got to calm down because I'm starting to sweat.
I agree. It's because this is maddening. It's a good product. They're just completely going at it. They're following the sponsors instead of following what they need to do in the United States. And that's play up these players that we just talked about instead of chasing the dollars all over the place and nobody's seeing them.
Russ Evans, Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic.